with you here. I'd like to thank the assembly for having the confidence to invite us, my wife and myself, to be with you for these couple of weeks. And we're looking forward to a great time of fellowship together and also for the Lord to speak to our hearts and especially to the unsaved as well to challenge and bring some into His favor. I thank you for your prayers. I know you prayed for me some 4+ years ago when I was having radiation for prostate cancer, and the Lord has been good. The lab tests up until 3 weeks ago still give me a rating of 0-0, which is very encouraging to my doctors. And, of course, I'm trusting the great physician, and he has been very good to me. And your prayers, too, for my wife, who suffered a serious fall just before last Christmas, and she was in very serious condition. But God has been very good to us both in raising her up to much better health and strength. She's come a long, long way in the last few months, and we praise God for His mercies toward us both, because it has been very traumatic on me, as you can understand. I've been there. Thank God I was able to be with her 24/7, because I retired from active work almost a year ago now. And she needed me, and God ordained it so that I could be with her and help her. And He has been good, and she is doing much better. I was thinking, since part of the service tonight was a prayer meeting, that perhaps we could look at some of the scriptures concerning prayer, which we all need more of. I place myself among others who perhaps have neglected to pray as often and as diligently as we should. It's not a matter of saying words to our Heavenly Father. It's the faith in our hearts to believe that God answers prayer and God delights to hear His children cry unto Him in the hour of need. Not only for physical strength and healing, but for spiritual determination to walk and talk the way of life, so that those around us will see and know that we have indeed been with the Lord Jesus. So it's a strengthening and a deepening of our spiritual lives that we should be interested in, especially in our prayers, not just a matter of calling names and saying words, although that is necessary and God understands that. But we need that spiritual determination and fervency to go on with the Lord and to grow in the knowledge of His Word and His will. So tonight we're going to look at a few scriptures, and hopefully we will learn a few things from the Word of God. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Hebrews. And chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read verse 31, Hebrews 11 and 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and David, also of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire escaped the edge of the sword, and of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And so it goes on. So a life of prayer is necessary and very important in the life of every Christian, that we need to spend time before the Lord. I have to associate myself with others who decry the fact that we do not spend more time in diligent prayer before the Lord day by day. Sometimes we're satisfied with just 2 minutes of Our Father which art in heaven, but we need to spend more time before the Lord asking for His guidance, wisdom, and that spiritual determination to walk the walk of faith and to live out that Christianity in a practical way so that others will see and know that we have been with the Lord Jesus. Someone has said that prayer does not need practice, but does not need proof, it needs practice. It doesn't need proof, it needs practice. That is, day by day, hour by hour. You see, it's not just having a prayer time in the morning, at noon, or in the evening. It's a life of prayer, an attitude of prayer, an attitude of living in the consciousness that we are in the presence of God and we are totally dependent upon God for every step of the way. Sometimes we wait until emergencies come. But we need that constant touch with the Heavenly Father so that in the good days, as well as in the not so good, that we know and are conscious of His presence and His power working through us as we commit our lives to Him. And He is able, because of our prayers, because of our commitment to Him, He is able to work through us and to be a blessing to others along life's way. So prayer is paramount. If you realized how many references in the scriptures there are concerning prayer, then we would all understand that it is paramount in the Christian life that we have that attitude, that constant abiding in the Lord, being conscious of His presence and being able to whisper a prayer, not just in the morning, at noon, or at night, and to be assured that God is with us and that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Someone has said that a prayer is a very delicate instrument. It's like, I remember many years ago when I was a teenager, we had a gentleman here in Spanish Wells who used to play the mandolin. You know, I don't know how many strings it had, whether it had 8 or 10, but it required daily practice on those strings to be able to touch each one and get the music out of that. The young men used to gather around and sing as he played that mandolin. So it's that way with prayer. It's a very delicate Christian attitude and life that it must be practiced. There must be reality in coming to God in prayer, not just to say words, but to present ourselves, as the scripture says, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and allow Him to have His way with us and in us and to work through us in order that His work, His word and His work will run and be magnified. It will prosper it will be believed by the people around us as they watch us day by day and realize that we're living close to the Lord. It's not easy. There are so many adverse things that come into our lives. Take the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was baptized and the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove, and he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil is at our heels 24/7. I want you to know that. He's there to trip us up and to cause us to falter and to fail and to disgrace the name of the Lord. So we need the prayer in order to defeat the devil. The Lord Jesus had those three temptations after 40 days and 40 nights. Those are the only three that are mentioned. We don't know about the others. But after 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came with three major temptations. And the Lord Jesus was able to defeat him, to defy him. He quoted the scriptures. He referred to three scriptures back in the book of Deuteronomy. And the devil, after the third time, had to flee. So, we need to pray and pray and pray. And say to the devil, if we pray and if we mean what we pray, get thee behind me, Satan. But we need the power of God through prayer in order to be able to say that. We cannot say it just flippantly. We have to say it with the real conviction in our souls that we have been in touch with God and God will do for us as he did to the devil himself that day. So, the prayer is the lifeline of the believer. One definition of prayer, simply stated, is it is acknowledging our utter dependence on God to meet our needs day by day. Utter dependence on God to meet our needs. We do not know what a day will bring forth. We can leave this building tonight and before we reach home, there can be a very serious incident in our lives. You know, we don't have to be sick for 6 months in order to die. Sickness comes unexpectedly, as it did with Brother John Clunas. He had no indication that he was ill until he just noticed something on his body, went to the doctor, and the doctor says, it's inoperable. We're not able to operate. It isn't going to do you any good. It may hasten, shorten your life. Accidents happen, but we need to walk with the Lord and in the consciousness of his power and his presence in order to keep us day by day. It is acknowledging our inability to move mountains, but to realize that God can and does move mountains. In my life, I've seen some of those mountains removed. We've been praying for brothers this evening that God would remove some mountains in their lives, serious illnesses, perhaps financial difficulties that they're unable to meet because of illnesses. And we need to keep those short accounts with the Lord. Philippians 4 and 6, everybody knows it. Be anxious for nothing. Be not careful about these things, But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So he's saying, don't take the cares of life. Don't be careless, but don't take the cares of life. But commit our way unto the Lord. We must be able to discern between being carefree and careless. No Christian should be careless. We can be carefree if we can develop this prayerful attitude in the presence of God and live in that attitude day by day. We can be carefree, but don't let us be careless. That's not what the scripture says. Carefree, but not careless. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that God is there. God is God. He rules in the universe. And that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So prayer is not just a matter of saying words. It is a deep consciousness from the heart, from the soul, that we are in the presence of God and we are speaking to our God and our Father. And we say words that should have meaning and impact to them. We should be praying for the furtherance of the gospel in our community, but at the same time, it has to begin with me. What am I doing to further the gospel in the area where I live, in Nassau? Am I speaking to the unsaved that I meet day by day? Am I working towards that end? Is my goal that the gospel of the grace of God will run and be magnified and souls will be saved and lives will be changed and the word of God will become effective in my community? You see, we can pray for souls to be saved, but as an individual, I must be a part of that. Not just to pray and expect somebody to come in out of the blue and preach the gospel and reap a harvest. I must be working toward that day by day. My life must be effective in the lives of the people around me in order that I will be a part when that preacher comes, when God sends that preacher and the gospel is preached, people will respond because you and you and you and I have had a part in that. Our lives have been demonstrating the power of the gospel. You see, if the gospel doesn't have its effect, if it doesn't have its power in the lives of people, other people unsaved do not believe it. They must see a change. They must see a casting off of the old life. And they must see a new life. And that's what we need to pray for. That when people get saved, when the gospel is preached, when the crusade is on and over, those who profess faith in Christ, we want to see a change in their lives. Old things have passed away, the chorus said, and all things become new. And that's what we need to pray for. If we're praying for the furtherance of the gospel, we need to pray for ourselves to be a part of the furtherance of that gospel. And so it's a matter of pleading and agonizing before God for the souls of men and women, that we will have a part in that transformation that takes place when God sends his servant and preaches the gospel and souls are saved. If we are diligent in our prayers, then it will be evident when the gospel is preached. Prayer is the creature beseeching the Creator to do for him what he is unable to do. Someone has said, man feels that he belongs to two worlds, and prayer is the connecting link. We all belong to two worlds if we're Christians. Our citizenship is in heaven, but our feet are here on Mother Earth. So we are citizens of two worlds. Our hope, our goal, our aspirations are heavenward. Our citizenship, our manner of life should be heavenly. Citizenship is in heaven, but our feet are upon Mother Earth. We have to do business with people day by day. We have to walk the sandy roads day by day. So, how can we have that heavenly attitude and yet walking in the mundane path of this physical life? It's only if we live in the attitude of prayer that we are completely dependent upon God to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves and to take us through situations. He doesn't always take us out of situations that affect us physically, mentally, spiritually, but he takes us through in order that we might learn his power to insulate us, so to speak, to be able to go through that experience. And perhaps we could name 100 different experiences that we go through in our lives. But God takes us through, not just to, but he takes us through those experiences that we might learn the powers of God and not of men. We cannot always devise means to clear the air and to get through those difficult situations in life. We have to depend upon our Heavenly Father. But he can take us to and through and bring us out purified on the other side. There isn't a Christian but what faces difficulties in life. But we have to face them in the presence and the power of God with prayer and supplication in the Spirit that he will give us the wisdom and the spiritual fortitude in order to be able to go not just to but through those circumstances and come out, as Job said, as gold that has been purified. That's not easy. I'm not telling you this to make you think that it is easy. It is difficult. Going through those circumstances in life are difficult, but they purify us. They take away the dross. They take away the worldly effects and give us spiritual strength and fortitude as we pass through those experiences and come out victorious on the other side. In the beginning of the Lord's public ministry, as I mentioned earlier, it's recorded of him that being baptized, he went to John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, if you like, down to the River Jordan, to be baptized, and John forbade him. He says, I have need to be baptized of you, Lord. He says, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. the Jewish nation would never have accepted him in any case had he not been baptized. So he was baptized, and the Spirit of God rested upon him in the form of a dove. God told the audience that day, not just John the Baptizer, but the audience, the people, the hundreds perhaps of people who were watching there. Some came to be baptized and others came to watch. That this is the Son of God. This is my Son. And that voice came. This is my beloved Son. And then, after that, it says, the devil driveth him into the wilderness. So, his fortitude, his spiritual fortitude, was enlarged that day by God sending his Holy Spirit upon him and into him, so that he was in the Spirit. He was doing God's will, and he moved according to the will of God, and he was able to defeat the devil in all of his temptations. The Lord Jesus had to reprimand Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. Perhaps we'll mention that sometime later, if we get time. He said to the disciples, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, and shall leave me alone." And Peter spoke up. He said, "Never me, Lord. I'm willing to die for you. I'll die for you before I'll deny you." And the Lord said, "I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." But he never said that Peter would not deny him. He says, "I prayed that your faith will fail not." And sometimes in the circumstances of life, our faith in God maybe rests like on a brittle thread, that it could go either way. The fire is so intense. The heat is so hot. The difficulty is so great that we are apt to say, "God forbid, I'll give it all up." Christian, believer, God may call any one of us to go through the fire. And he has. Many of his people. But we must dwell in the Word of God, and we must know what it is to have that communion with God in prayer, to be able to go through the fire. And even though we get burned, yet to trust him. Peter denied him 3 times. And he was reproved when he heard the cock crow, and he wept bitterly. It's better to go through the fire, to feel the heat, and to come out on the other side victorious, than to deny the Lord. That has such a tremendous adverse effect upon the people around us. He said he was a Christian. He said he trusted the Lord. He got saved. Look at him now. Look at her now. We need to pray to God every day that we never get to that condition of soul where, by life or by lip, that we deny the Lord Jesus. We can do it by life. We may not always do it by lip, but we can do it by life. That we walk contrary to the Word of God and to the precepts that are laid down in God's Word. And the only way we can walk through the fire and come out on the other side purified is through prayer and supplication with the Lord, day by day, hour by hour. The time is gone, right? Perhaps we have another Tuesday. Perhaps in the will of the Lord we might be able to continue a little more on this subject of prayer. It is perhaps one of the most, if not the most, necessary subjects and attitudes and conditions of a Christian is to know that daily fellowship with the Lord, that when we pray, we know that He hears and He will answer our prayers. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We regret that oftentimes we have neglected it to our own spiritual detriment. And we have neglected that communion in prayer with Thee and have become weak in our testimony to the world around us. We pray, Lord, that tonight we may take inventory of our lives, and if we have walked in bypath meadow, we have crossed over the stile into the fields, and our testimony has been seared and burned, we will return and confess our sins and failure, and then daily commune with Thee and walk with Thee and bear a good testimony to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for every member of this assembly, every Christian, every believer here this evening, that we all might realize the importance of prayer with Thee, the God of the universe, and our God and our Father. We are exhorted in Thy Word so many times to pray. Lord, help us to pray and to live according to our prayers and to trust Thee in all the affairs of life, even in the emergencies, that Thou wilt do for us exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We ask it in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.